Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
We're going to be in the New Testament book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 6, and we're going to zero in primarily on one verse, Ephesians 6, verse 4. But I want to start today with some encouraging news that I've recently read about. According to the National Center for Fathering, they have declared what they have described as a fatherhood awakening. And they have cited evidence that men are rediscovering what it means to be a father. And I hope this is absolutely true. Here are two rather surprising facts that comes from the National Center for Fathering. Number one, in the past 35 years, the number of dads present at their children's births has risen from 27% to 90%. Yeah, that's good. Second fact, more than 75% of men now say they would trade rapid career advancement for more time with their families. And according to this study, more dads are spending time at home with their children. I think that's a good thing. I like this story. It's told by one preacher who was spending some time at home one evening. And this is what he said, and I'm quoting from him. He said, "My wife was busy one evening pursuing her hobby of making baby porcelain dolls at a doll making class. So she left me at home to watch our two children, Belinda, age 7, and Craig, age 5. While I was chatting with a neighbor on the front porch, the phone rang. And I was proud to hear my son, Craig, answer the phone promptly and politely. But my pride vanished as I heard my son's response to the caller's request to speak to my wife. Here's what he said. 'No, my mom's not here. She's out making a baby. But my dad is here if you want to talk to him.' He concludes by saying, 'Naturally, the phone call was from one of the elders of the church.'" Well, children can say some funny things and sometimes some very embarrassing things through no fault of their own. But the point I was trying to make is simply it's good that more dads seem to be taking more responsibility in their homes. And I hope that's true. And when it comes to what dads ought to be, as far as the home is concerned, the Bible is very clear. According to God's word, dads are to be difference makers by leading and loving their wife and their children. Even though our text for today is a short one, it certainly packs a wallop. So let's hear what Paul writes. Ephesians 6, verse 4, he says simply this as he addresses dads. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Before we take a look at some duties of a daddy, let's ask God for his wisdom and his understanding and his blessing as we open up his word. Let's pray. Good morning again, Father. We thank you for this day that we are able to be together. You're here with us, and we thank you for the love that you show us as our Heavenly Father. And we're thankful, Lord, for all the dads that are here. And I pray, Father, you will bless them as they perform their role of being a dad in this society in which we live in. And Lord, I know what we're going to talk about today applies primarily to dads, but also to many others, moms, grandparents, even those who aren't moms or dads yet, they will be someday. And these principles are so important for us to follow. So Lord, I pray you will use me in a way that you'll be pleased and that we'll be challenged and encouraged to be the dads and the moms and the grandparents and the future mom and dads that we need to become. Lord, bless your word as our prayer and give us that wisdom and understanding as only you can do. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, while Paul specifically is addressing dads here, as I just prayed, the principles also apply to moms and grandparents and others who have dealing with children and those who will someday be moms and dads. But before we unpack this verse, I think it's important for me to give you just a little bit of background. In the first century, when Paul wrote this passage, families were presided over by fathers who could do whatever they pleased in their homes. In fact, Rome had a law, and it was called patria potestas. And that word means the father's power. Men who were Roman citizens were given absolute property rights over their families. By law, the children and the wife were regarded as the father's personal property, and he could do with them what he wanted. That was Roman law. A displeased father could disown his children, sell them into slavery, or even kill them if he wished. Believe it or not, that was true. Now, here's how a father would do that primarily. When a child was born, the baby was placed between the father's feet. If the father picked up the baby, the child stayed in the home. If he turned and walked away, the child was either left to die or sold at auction. You talk about a terrible law. Now, while things may not be quite that bad today, you and I both know there are millions of unwanted babies aborted each year. Way too many have become a disposable commodity in our society, just like they were in ancient Rome. The Bible calls Christians fathers to a different standard. Our children are not property to be owned, but image bearers of God who need to be loved and trained. So, Dad, this verse in Ephesians 6:4, and remember, this is the context from which Paul writes this. This verse is calling us to some pretty high standards. It's biologically easy to become a father, but biblically challenging to actually be a good daddy to our children. The Bible very clearly challenges dads to become the point men in their homes, because the ultimate responsibility for what a family becomes is the father's. So in this verse, we're given four duties of a daddy, and that's the title of the message. One duty is something we should not do, and the other three are what we are to do. So the first duty that dads are not to do, Paul speaks about right at the beginning. We are to avoid provoking your children to anger. We're told at the beginning of verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. I can't help but think, based on the circumstances, that Paul uses this negative command because he knows that many fathers are prone to abuse their authority in the home. And so this warning is calling dads to avoid anything that will eventually break the spirit of their children. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 3, verse 21. He writes, fathers, do not antagonize or embitter your children so that they will not become discouraged. Now, I realize that there are times when children become sinfully angry due to their own selfishness or immaturity. But there are other times when dads are guilty of aggravating or provoking their kids. So the question we need to ask is, how do we provoke our children to anger? Well, I've summarized it in your outline by using the acronym PROVOKE. Here are seven ways that dads provoke their children. Number one, we provoke our children through P, pressure. We come down hard on our children when we pressure them to achieve. Now, certainly we need to challenge our kids to excel, but there are times we end up pushing them unreasonably. The Message version of Ephesians 6:4 says this: don't exasperate your children by coming down too hard on them. Now, let me give you an example about this. I read about a child who began to cry when her teacher told her that she had received a 95 out of 100 on a math exam. She got an A on the test. And when the teacher asked her why she was crying, here was her response: because my father would spank me for every point away from 100. Yeah. There are times we come down too hard on our kids. And maybe it's because we want them to fulfill our dreams, the very goals that we have failed to achieve. We also provoke our kids through our rejection, when we refuse to give them our approval. When we always point out what's wrong, we fail to highlight what's right, we discourage them. The problem is sometimes we're too quick to correct, too slow to compliment. Some of us think that if we praise them, they'll become proud. Or we sound spiritual and we say something like, well, they might lose their reward in heaven. But we parents will actually lose our rewards if we fail to give them our approval. And then we also often provoke our children through overprotection. You can anger your children by fencing them in too much. Kind of reminds me of something I read written by a dad. It was called 10 Simple Rules for Dating My Daughter. Okay? Now here's just two of them. The first one was this. If you pull into my driveway and honk, you better be delivering a package because you're sure not picking anything or anyone up. Rule number 5 was this. It is usually understood that in order for us to get to know each other, we should talk about sports, politics, and other issues of the day. Please do not do this. The only information I require from you is an indication of when you expect to have my daughter safely home. And the only word I need from you on that subject is early. There's a Bible example in the Old Testament of an overprotective, a domineering parent. His name was Laban. Laban dealt very dishonestly with Jacob. Jacob fell in love with Rachel, and he wanted to marry her. And Dad said, well, if you work for me for 7 years, you can marry her. At the end of the 7 years, what'd he do? Nap, can't have Rachel. You got to marry my older daughter, Leah, first. But if you work another 7 years for me, I'll let you marry Rachel. Well, Laban's controlling parenting cost his own daughters a healthy marriage. And I think it's somewhat ironic, but despite Laban's overprotective interfering, the daughter's assessment was that their father did not really care for them. There's a verse, Genesis 31, verse 15, and it describes how Rachel and Leah think about their dad. Here's what we read. Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and has also entirely consumed our purchase price. Now, in order to understand this, you need to realize, so first of all, Rachel and Leah thought of their dad, and we're just foreigners to him. The other thing we need to understand is in the Old Testament, it was not uncommon at all, for when a man was to marry someone, he would pay something called a dowry to the family, primarily to the father. And that was simply saying, hey, I'd like to marry your daughter. Here's some money. Well, what the girls were saying was, he took the purchase price. He entirely consumed it. He doesn't care about us. So while Laban thought he was expressing parental protection, it came across to his daughters as evidence that he did not love them. Instead of controlling our children and obsessively trying to decide every aspect of their lives, we should teach our kids to stand on their own 2 feet. We must allow them to make mistakes. Now, I'm not talking about sin issues here. I'm talking about teaching them to decide on things that matter in their lives, like a college choice or a choice of friends. Yes, I know they're going to be accountable for their decisions. Yes, they will have to face the consequences of their actions. Yet we teach them to make their own decisions because we're not going to always be with them to decide for them, and they need to make their own decisions. We just have to provide the guidelines and the boundaries and then encourage them along the way. We also provoke our children when we subject them to verbal abuses. I'm sure that like me, you have heard your share of parents who verbally abuse their children through the use of demeaning words and or foul language. Now, I've read and you know physical abuse is also a problem in many homes, but what can be just as bad as far as provoking children to anger and discouragement is the abuse of the tongue. Dads, let's cut down on criticism and sarcasm in the home. Let's look for ways to celebrate and applaud our kids. Let's catch them doing right things instead of always lashing out at them when they do something wrong. We also anger our kids when we give them, I was trying to think of a word for this one, obligatory love. And what I mean by that is conditional love instead of unconditional love. Now, here's what happens. We should never give love as a reward or withdraw it as punishment. We make our kids insecure when they need to perform a certain way in order to be loved. We also irritate them by K, keeping favorites, when we prefer one child over the other. And we show favoritism, listen, when we start to compare our children, we say things like, why don't you act like your sister? Why can't you be as bright as your brother? Isaac favored Esau over Jacob. Rebecca preferred Jacob over Esau. And that family experienced terrible agony, and the two brothers became bitter rivals. Someone has said, if you want to anger and destroy your child, just make him or her feel inferior to everyone else in the family. And then lastly, we disappoint them through extreme expectations. We frustrate our kids when we expect too much or too little from them, when we expect them to act like adults all the time, or when we don't allow them to act like kids. Now, of course, our children must learn how to behave, but at times we demand that they behave not because it's the right thing to do, but because we're afraid of what people would say. We fear that people will say we're not good Christians if our kids are a little bit rowdy at times. We just need to keep in mind, kids will be kids. So that's the negative side of our dad duty. Avoid provoking your children to anger. Now I want to look at three positive principles from the second half of Ephesians 6, verse 4. First positive duty of a daddy is to provide nurture. Now that's what many translations say. The New American Standard says, bring them up, which is the same as saying provide nurture. Paul wrote, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So dads, we're to take an active role in shaping the character of our children because they will not get there by themselves. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and a rebuke or correction give wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. John MacArthur puts it this way. He said, what ruins most children is not what their parents do to them, but what they do not do for them. Dads, we're charged with providing a nurturing environment so that our children will grow up to become young men and women of God. So for a child, nurture is spelled T-I-M-E. One Sunday school teacher once asked a group of her children this question. What is a dad for? Some talked about how their dads made money so that the family could do things, or how they fixed things around the house, and those are good answers. But I like this one the best. One little girl said, a dad is someone for spending time with. That was good, because children need time. According to family psychologist Dr. James Dobson, this was a few years ago, the average father spends less than a minute of face-to-face communication with his children per day. Yes, we devote time and energy to the people and the things that we value the most. Children will conclude that if you don't have time for me, then you must not care about me. I read of a dad who promised his two sons that he was going to take them to the circus. Early the morning they were ready to go, the phone rang. An urgent business call demanded the dad's presence at the downtown office. The two boys braced themselves for the disappointment. Then they heard their father say this, no, I won't be down. It's just going to have to wait. When he came back to the breakfast table, his wife smiled. She said, the circus keeps coming back, you know. He said, yes, I know, but childhood doesn't. Dads are entrusted with the task of making memories. So dads, how are you doing in the nurturing department? Are you providing an atmosphere in your home in which your children can grow up to love and serve Jesus? Are you spending quality time with your children? That's probably the most important question I can ask today. Are you modeling authentic faith? One of the best ways to parent your children is to live your life in a faithful way. Someone has said, one way to correct your children is to correct the example you're setting for them. And that leads me to the next positive duty of a daddy, provide discipline. Paul wrote, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. That word carries the idea of a rebuke or a warning. Literally, it means to place before the mind. Proverbs 13:24 provides a strong challenge to us as dads. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. I like what the New Living Translation says here. If you refuse to discipline your children, it proves you don't love them. If you love your children, you will be prompt to discipline them. Now, I realize I've been there before. Sometimes we hesitate to discipline because we may think that we're being unkind to our kids. Actually, when you don't discipline, you're being more than unkind. You're not loving them. So listen carefully. I'm not in any way advocating that you beat your kids when they do wrong. What I'm saying is this. Children need to be disciplined, especially by their dads. For our children not only need correction, they want it. Now, for you children that are in here today, you're thinking, no, I don't. I remember when I was growing up, every time I'm like, I don't want this discipline I'm about to get. But it's needed, and I think as children get older, they realize that they needed that discipline. And if we don't give it to them, we're failing them and may cause them to fall away from the faith. You know that the Bible speaks of God's loving discipline in our lives by showing how beneficial it really is. I love that verse in Hebrews 12, verse 11. Here's what it says. For the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful. I've felt that. Have you felt that before? Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The purpose of discipline is to promote growth by looking to the future, not just to correct what's going on, but to promote growth by looking to the future. So dads, our kids are looking for us to train them and love them by disciplining them. And then finally, Paul writes that the duty of a daddy is this, provide instruction. Paul said, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Note, the instruction is to be of the Lord. To say that Jesus is Lord means he is the rightful king of the universe. He is the ruler over the entire world. He is the commander of the armies of heaven, and he is the ruler in our lives. Jesus is Lord, and dads, our master is teaching us, along with moms, that we are to instruct our children about him. Simply put, a parent's job is to teach their children how to humbly obey. And that's not always easy. It's like this little boy who was overheard one night praying, and this was his prayer. He said, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time, just like I am. That's the way a lot of kids feel. All children will reach the point someday. Well, they will sin. They will need the salvation that Jesus offers. So our most important job is to disciple our children and leave a legacy of faithfulness for them. We need to ask ourselves, is my spiritual life worth imitating? Do I have a natural enthusiasm for things such as prayer and Bible study, church activities, caring for the needs of others? Spiritual guidance cannot be delegated to others. Our kids' Sunday school teachers are not the ones entrusted with the responsibility of making our children followers of Jesus. Now, they can help, and they do help. But their relationship with God begins in the home, and it starts with parents. Dads, are you looking for ways to teach your kids about Jesus, or are you leaving that job for mom and other people? It's not enough to teach children to do good things, but to teach them how to develop a lifestyle of service in God's kingdom. After coming home from church one day, one teenage boy said to his parents, he said, I've decided I'm going to become a preacher someday. Well, the parents said, well, that's great. Well, what made you decide that? Well, little boy said, I have to go to church on Sunday anyway. And I figured it'd be more fun to stand up and yell than to sit down and listen. Well, I hope the reasons for children deciding to serve the Lord one day are a little stronger than that. But the point is that dads can have a big influence in helping their children. Steve Farrar wrote a book called Standing Tall. And he used a strategic metaphor for a dad that I think is very helpful. It was to me. Here's what he writes. He said, quote, "A godly father is the unseen spiritual submarine who lurks below the surface of every activity of his child's life. A man who has put on the full armor of God and with that armor goes to warfare on his knees for his children is a force to be reckoned with. We cannot be with our children 24 hours a day, but through our prayers, we have the ability to affect situations even when we are not physically present. You may be undetected, but that does not mean you are ineffective," unquote. Now, let's be honest about something. Sometimes I'm not the dad I need to be. Been that way in my life. Sometimes you may not be the dad or the mom or the grandparent or the child that you need to be. But the good news is that we all have help. And for you dads that are here today, I want to point out a verse in the Old Testament as I start to bring this message to a close. In Malachi 4, verse 6, the very last verse of the Old Testament, the prophet looks ahead to the ministry of John the Baptist. And he writes this: "He will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers so that I will not come and strike the land with complete destruction." Dads, here's what I want you to do. Ask God to turn your heart to your children. Ask him to turn their hearts to you. And I believe he will be glad to answer a prayer like that. So dads, before you leave this service, feeling discouraged, maybe by your own failures and inconsistency, we all have them. Let me remind you, there is no such thing as a perfect earthly father. The only perfect father we have is our heavenly father. Amen? Chuck Swindoll wrote a book called The Strong Family. And when he addresses dads, here's what he says. Come on, dads. Let's start saying no to more and more of the things that pull us farther and farther away from the ones who need you the most. You think you're not perfect? What else is new? Your family doesn't expect profound perfection, command performances, or a superhuman plan. What your family wants is just you, warts and all. So let's get started being the dads that we need to be.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.